forward and the words that Brother Ricky has brought forward. That rock wasn't talking about the Apostle Peter. Amen. Now, that rock was on the confession of what the Apostle said, that thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon and Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And if you have that belief this morning, you're blessed of God. You're already blessed of God. God's blessed you this morning with that revelation in your life. We want to turn your minds this morning for a little while to the 17th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, he says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14 continues and said, And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. If you're familiar at all with God's word, surely you're familiar with this story here of the 10 lepers. They all had one thing in common. They all had leprosy. They all had a disease that would take their life. They had something else in common. They were all in need of the mercy of God. They all cried out, God, have mercy on us. They were all, and another thing that they all had in common, as they were going to the priest to offer that was to be offered under the Old Testament, they were all cleansed. They all had leprosy. They were all in the need of the mercy of God. And they were all cleansed. But I want to tell you, the similarities stop right there. Because there was only one that turned back when he saw that he was clean of his leprosy. It was only one out of the 10, only 10%. There was only one that turned back and went back to the Lord and fell down on his feet, and fell down prostrate against to Christ and began to worship him because of the cleansing that he had received. They were all cleansed. You know, leprosy is a terrible disease. It's a terrible disease. It was a terrible disease back then. When we go and look at leprosy in the Bible, we can go to Leviticus chapter 13 and we can see a lot of things of diagnosis of how they diagnosed leprosy under the Old Testament. They had to diagnose it because if a person was found with leprosy, if he was found leprous, he was to be removed outside. He was to be removed from his family. He was to be removed from the city. And he was to go into a place and he was to be there because leprosy was something that was contagious. It's something that was contagious. So they were ostracized. They were moved out of the way. When we go to the 13th chapter of Leviticus, we see that leprosy in the Bible is a great type of sin. A great type of sin, leprosy. And that's why it is used so much. In the 13th chapter of Leviticus, it talks about how it is diagnosed. And in the 14th chapter of Leviticus, It talks about what to do if you're cleansed of that leprosy, that there is a ceremonial cleansing that you're to go through. In the 14th chapter, it speaks of that. But at any rate, you're to go to the high priest, and the high priest will pronounce you clean or unclean. Now, if you read that 13th chapter of Leviticus, you'll read 19 times it has the word pronounce. It pronounces. If you have this condition or if you have that condition, it pronounces you. The priest will pronounce you clean or unclean. That is clean or unclean of leprosy, a very terrible disease to have. You remember there was one, Uzziah, that was a man that had leprosy. He thought, as a king, he thought to go and do the priest's work. You know, there's only one king and priest. The king is to be on his throne, and the priest is to be in giving, praying for the people. There wasn't a king. You couldn't be a king and a priest both. But Uzziah felt, as king, he felt the desire to go in to do the service of the priest. And he went in there. And you remember, the priest came in and said, Uzziah, what are you doing in this sacred place? This is not a place for kings. This is a place for priests. What are you doing here? And Uzziah had a desire to be there. And all of a sudden, you remember, it said, behold, thou art a man of leprosy. It was leprosy that began to form in his forehead. They saw it. They saw the leprosy. They had to pronounce him unclean. Behold, thou art with leprosy. He couldn't see it at that time. And isn't that sometimes how sin is? That we don't see it in ourselves, but I want to tell you, we got to be careful, because sometimes it shows forth on our foreheads and others can see us and see that we're not living in a way that's pleasing and edifying to God. And we can live in that way, and people, and you know, it's important how people view us. People say it's really not that important. It is that important. It is very important if your purpose in living in this life is that God would get the glory through you. It's very important. Because you are the light of the world, the city that is set on the hill. That is you. It's very important in this dark world that we shine the light. Not that we would get the glory. He said, men don't hide a candle under a bushel stick, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light into all that are in the house. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The purpose of us shining our light in this life is not for our glory. It is for the glory of God. It is for what God has done. But we see here in leprosy, you were to go to the priest to pronounce, and they were to pronounce him clean or unclean. Do you know, dear child of God, that our great high priest pronounced us unclean? That we were unclean in the 5th chapter of Romans. I'll turn there right quick. In the 5th chapter of Romans, when the Apostle Paul is talking there, talking about the types and shadows of Abraham, or Adam and Christ, he says, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Listen to this 18th verse. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Because Adam fell, we all fell in Adam. We all fell because he was our representative. He represented us in the Garden of Eden. Wherefore is by one man, Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I want to tell you what, dear child of God, you don't sin in order to become a sinner. You sin because you already are a sinner. I want to tell you, a teacher teaches, a plumber plumbs, and a sinner sins. But I want to tell you, thanks be to God, we have a Savior, and He saves. He saves. He came to save a people. And who are those people? It was those that were out of the way, those that were undeserving, those that were in the condemnation of hell, because we were judged in Adam, that we were pronounced unclean in the fallen Adam. We had sin in us. We were full of sin. We were without strength. For when we were without strength, Paul said, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now he didn't say, for when you were almost without strength, that you could lift up a hand to receive salvation. Or you could just, if you could, just wiggle your pinky. No, he said, for when we were without strength, we had no strength whatsoever. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died. For who? The ungodly. The ungodly. We weren't godly. We were ungodly. We were out of the way. The sin. We were pronounced full of leprosy. Listen to what he says over here in Leviticus chapter 13. In the third verse. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look upon him and pronounce him unclean. He says, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh. Did you know, leprosy wasn't just on the surface. It went all the way in. Isn't that a great type of sin? Sin is not just on the surface. It permeates the man, the dead man's heart. The heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah said, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I want to tell you, it reaches to the very depths of who man is, to the very wickedness and the rottenness of man, and how undone he is. Listen to what he says over here in Mark. There's a lot of good evidences that we can use from time to time to remind us that this is God's Word. And I'll tell you how one of the many reasons why I know that this is the infallible Word of God is because this Word right here has nothing, you understand what I'm saying this morning, that this Word has nothing good to say about man whatsoever. There's nothing good to say about man. We can't boast in ourselves. All we can boast in is the Lord and what He has done for us. You know, people say, well, man wrote this book. I want to tell you, man was inspired of God to write God's Word. And I want to tell you, if God didn't inspire him, I want to tell you, I know the deceitfulness of man. If it was just left up to man and God didn't inspire the writers, there'd have to be something in here good about man. There'd have to be something in here that says, you're all right after all. But it's not there. It's not there at all. If there's anything good in you at all, I'm not saying we don't have good in us. I'm just saying that if we have any good in us at all, it didn't come from man. It didn't come from you. It came from God. And if it came from God, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. God gets the glory in everything. But listen to what he says in the book of Mark in the 7th chapter. Here's a description of man in Mark chapter 7. In verse 20, and that which cometh out of man that defileth the man. We're talking about that spiritual leprosy, if you will, that sin that permeates the very depths of man and who he is. That which cometh out of the man that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. In other words, when it says it defiles the man, all these things just come out on the flesh like leprosy to show you who you really are. When you had leprosy on the skin, that's not where it was at. It was from within. It was just manifesting itself. And oh, how we can manifest leprosy or the spiritual leprosy or sin into our lives. Going back over to Leviticus chapter 13, it says in the 8th verse, and if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. That it spreads. Not only is it just in one place, but this leprosy here is talking about it invades our whole body. Spiritual leprosy. When we were born in sin, dear child of God, I want to tell you, our whole body We are sinners from within and without, in need of the mercy of God. Sin spreads. Leprosy spreads and sin spreads. You know, if you hang around the wrong people too much, you know what will happen? That sin will begin to spread in your life. If you around people and they're living in an ungodly way, you better watch out. Because if you're not careful, you're liable to catch that contagious disease of sin. And it's liable to spread in your life. And our ungodliness, if we choose to portray that in our lives, can spread to the lives of others around us. It spreads. Listen to what the prophet said in Isaiah. Why should you be stricken in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 5? Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed up, nor bound up, neither mollified with ointment. You see, that's our state without God in our life. That is our state without God in our heart. You say, well, I don't want to have that state. I want God in my heart. How do I get God in my heart? Well, let me give you so this is real easy. You don't have to do anything. God's already in your heart. If you have that desire, you want to do good. If you have that desire that you want to turn from your sinful ways, if you have a conviction of sin when you do wrong and you know it's wrong and it convicts you, if you have a desire to go down on your knees in prayer to God, you're not needing Christ in your heart. Christ is already in your heart, because if He wasn't in your heart, you wouldn't have those desires. You wouldn't have the desire. You wouldn't have the convictions in your heart. Your state without God in your heart is that you are a dead alien sinner. And Paul talked about that in the second chapter of Ephesians. And you hath He quickened. Quickened, being brought to life. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. I want to tell you what, dear child of God, before the Lord came into your heart, you didn't have any desires for Him. You didn't have any will to follow Him. I want to tell you, if you got a will to follow Him, if you got a will to receive Him into your heart, too late, He's already in your heart. I like that over in the first chapter of Corinthians. I quoted a lot here, lady. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. But of God, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If you have the Lord in your heart, you can't glory in yourself because you thought you asked Him in your heart. He was already there. And so we got nothing to glory in but Jesus Christ. Just glory in the Lord because He's in our heart. Why did He come into my heart? Why did He come into my heart when I was depraved? I was totally depraved when I was living a wicked way of life. Why did God come into my heart? Was there something good that He saw in me? No, nothing. I was ungodly. I was out of the way. It's called mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. You see, mercy and grace doesn't come at the expense of your deeds or your works, else it wouldn't be mercy and grace anymore. Grace is unmerited favor. We were totally depraved. Not just partially depraved. Totally depraved without the Spirit. Before we were born again by the Spirit of God. We were totally depraved, did not desire the things of God. Paul said it so clearly in the third chapter of Romans. He said, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. Now, if you do something together, you do it at the same time, right? We did something together. We all together became unprofitable. When did we become unprofitable together? In the fall in Adam. We all together, at the same time, we all fell in Adam. Didn't have a desire for the things of God. It's God that has come to us. It's God that has come to us and has implanted His Spirit into our heart. You say, well, preacher, you got to do something to get that Spirit into your heart. You can't do anything. You're dead. How can you do anything? Go to the 11th chapter of John. Let's look at Lazarus. Over there in the 11th chapter of John, Lazarus is laying in the tomb and he is dead. They roll away the. He says, roll away the stone. They say, surely he stinketh by now. Aren't you glad that that's there?
Yeah.
Surely he stinketh by now. Because if that wouldn't have been there, there'd have been some doctors or something out there that say, well, he was in a coma. He was really alive, but he was in a coma. No, surely he stinketh. The Bible wants you to know. You say, well, why does it put that there? Because the Bible wants you to know that he is dead. No questions asked. He said, roll away the stone. Christ goes in there. Do you remember what Christ prayed to the Father before he went in there? He says, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast heard me. I thank thee, Father, that thou hast heard me. He hadn't said anything yet. That's Christ. Christ can say, I thank you that you've heard me before I even say anything. You see, it's the 3-in-1 Godhead. And the Lord goes in there and he says, Lazarus, would you like to come forward? No. Lazarus, I'm going to give you an opportunity if you lift up your hands. I'll give you an opportunity if you just twitch your eye. I'll give you an opportunity, but there's something you got to do. You know what? There's no chance that Lazarus was going to do anything because he was dead. He had been dead for 3 days. He wasn't any more dead the third day than he was the first day, but he was manifesting that death on that third day. No, the Lord came to him where he was at. And by the way, there are 3 times in the Bible that talks about the Lord coming and raising the dead. And every time nobody brought the dead to Christ, the Lord went to them. And I want to tell you, when you were dead in trespasses and sins, nobody had to bring you to Christ. You didn't have to go to Christ. I want to tell you, the Lord came to you where you were at in the waste hell and wilderness. And he cried out to Lazarus, Lazarus, arise. He didn't say, if you won't. He said, Lazarus, arise. And you know what? Lazarus was obedient to that, and Lazarus came forth. How could he come forth in that obedience? It was a passive obedience. And I want to tell you, every child of God, when he hears the irresistible voice of the Son of God, he responds passively. He's got no choice. All what do you say over in John 5:25? Verily, verily, I say to thee, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That dead that he's talking about there is not a corporeal dead. We're talking about a spiritual dead. That he's going to come. He says, verily, verily, I say, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the preached word. No. Shall hear the spoken word. No. Shall hear the written word. No. The hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of the living God. The voice. And they that hear shall live. Who all is going to hear? All those that he speaks to in a new birth. Whether you feel like it's your time to be born again or whether your time, you know, it's not, well, I'm going to wait and sow my wild oats. I got some more wild oats to sow before I decide to do right now. I want to tell you what, God comes at his appointed time. There's an appointed time. And he won't lose a one. He won't lose a one. He said somebody could die an untimely death. God knows all things from beginning to the end. Every one of his will be born again by the Spirit of God. Goes on to say another in the 13th chapter of Leviticus in the 46th verse, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. If he is unclean, he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. He would dwell alone. Isn't that something to be ostracized, to be removed from your family, to be removed from that city, to be removed from all your loved ones, and your habitation would be alone? Well, I want to tell you, we all like sheep, the Lord said in Isaiah 53, and about a verse 11, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have led everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We all went away. I want to tell you, we were all removed from the blessings of God. Now, legally and positionally, I've got some good news to tell you. You've always been a child of God, legally and positionally. In the mind of God, from before the foundation of the world, God loved you, and He has always loved you. He chose you. He elected you to be His special people. And dear child of God, nothing is going to change that. But I want to tell you what, dear child of God, there had to be some reconciling going on. We had to be reconciled. We had to be redeemed. We had to be redeemed back. You remember, you can't talk about redemption without showing a prior ownership. You can't redeem something that wasn't yours to begin with. But it was the Lord that redeemed us. It was the Lord that reconciled us on the cross. It was the Lord that translated us into new birth. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk therefore as children of light. That's an instruction we're to take heed right there in our daily lives, but also where I was wanting to go is over there in the first chapter of Colossians, where he said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been translated, that is, brought from the family of Adam and placed back in vitally into the family of God in the new birth. It was vitally applied to us. Now let me get to my subject. Well, I haven't started it yet. He says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now you remember that was what they were to do. Go show yourselves unto the priest. Remember Leviticus 13 and 14? Go show yourselves unto the priest. Well, they were still full of leprosy. What do you mean, go show myself unto the priest? I don't have to be pronounced with leprosy. I know that I'm sure they probably already been pronounced, or they knew that they were men of leprosy. But by faith, they got up, and it says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. Cleansed of what? Cleansed of their leprosy. Their leprosy was as if it were washed away. And they had no leprosy in them whatsoever. Not even a spot of leprosy. Who did this work? Jesus Christ did this work. It's while they were walking to go see the priest that they were cleansed. And did you know, dear child of God, that we were cleansed on the cross at Calvary of our leprosy? That Christ cleansed us. He said over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, listen to what he says here. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, how? In his own blood. In his own blood. What was the washing agent? It was the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He washed us, and we've been cleansed as that leper. But I want to tell you, notice the order. It says He loved us and washed us. He didn't wash us in order to love us. He washed us because He did love us already from before the foundation of the world. In other places, all throughout God's Word, we can see where the washing Titus said in Titus chapter 3, starting off in verse 3, that we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after this, the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not the love of God, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, there's a washing that we receive in the new birth. That it is the washing that we receive on the cross is vitally applied to us when we're born again by the Spirit of God. He applies that washing to us in our hearts. And so many other places we could go to. You remember in the 10th chapter of Acts, when the Apostle Peter was asked to go to Cornelius' house, he was going to Cornelius' house not to save him from hell to heaven. He was already a child of God. He was going to save him from the ignorance and to save him to who he was to worship. You say, prove that to me. I'll prove it to you. Listen to what he says. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Listen, here's the description of this man in the second verse of the 10th chapter of Acts. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house. Now you go over to the 3rd chapter of Romans and you'll see that one that doesn't have the Lord in his heart is one that it says they have no fear of God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. You going to tell me this is a dead alien sinner? That this is somebody that doesn't have the love of God in his heart? And I'm going to tell you, my friends, you don't understand the doctrine of total depravity. The doctrine of total depravity doesn't cause your heart to pray. Doesn't cause your heart to want to give alms to others, to help others out. The total depravity in a man's heart doesn't cause him to fear God. I tell you what causes a man to fear God, to have compassion for others, and to pray to God always, is when God's already in his heart. You see, that's evidences. That's the evidence of one that already has the indwelling Spirit of God within him. Now, the Apostle Peter had some learning to do about that, didn't he? The Apostle Peter, you remember, he was out there and the Lord let down that net of all clean beasts. You know, and you know, the Jews had a very strict diet of what they were to eat and what they were not to eat. And the Lord said, "Arise, Peter, eat." And he said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has touched these lips." You remember what he said after the third time? "Call not that I have cleansed common or unclean. Call not that I have cleansed." Who was he referring to? He's referring to Cornelius. He's saying, "I've already cleansed him. Call not that common or unclean that I have cleansed." So we see in many places where there is a cleansing found throughout God's Word. In this life, we need cleansing, the child of God. And when you talk about a cleansing, it's always in reference to our sins. Christ cleansed us of our sins on the cross. But in this life, the child of God needs a daily cleansing in this life. You remember he said over in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us. So there's a cleansing that we need now in this life for the child of God. For the sins and the things that we commit against God and against one another, there's a cleansing there. In another place, and then we'll move on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 11, "Know ye not," in verse 9, "know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" We're talking about the kingdom blessings here in this life. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And listen to what he says on this 11th verse. "And such were some of you." But but you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. "And such were some of you." Now, why didn't he say, "and such were all of you"? Because this is not an eternal reference here. If this was an eternal reference, he would say, "and such were all of you." Eternally speaking, in Adam, we were all that way. But what he's talking about is the washing and repentance that we have in this life. He says, "and such were some of you." Some of you were living this way. You were children of God. You were living an immoral way of living, but you have repented. And he calls that a washing. That is, you have turned from those things and turn to the Lord and begin to follow Him. So as we get ready to close here, We're getting really down to our text. He says, there was one that came back. There's one that responded positively. They were all with leprosy. They were all healed. But only one of them turned back. I'm reminded in the 6th chapter of John, in about verse 66 through 67, where he told them where many of his disciples turned and followed him no more. Now these were children of God. The Lord calls them his disciples. But they turned and followed him no more. And the Lord turned to the 12 and he said, will you go away also? Will you also go away? Will you turn and walk away like the 9 lepers if you've seen that you've been cleansed? You remember what the Apostle Peter said? He said, how can we? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We have nowhere else, in other words, he's saying, that we have a desire to go but before thy feet, because thou hast not the word, thou hast the words of eternal life. I want to tell you what, dear child of God, what is the response that you have in your life after you have seen that God has placed you on the cross of Calvary? Is it to be as the 9 to just walk away and to go on? Or is it to be like that one that notices and sees what the Lord has done for him, and he turns and he runs back and he gives praise to God, falling down on his feet, on his knees? That ought to be my response. That ought to be your response when you see what God has done for you. Oh, many places we can go to when we can see in Luke chapter 14. You remember that great wedding feast, and he said they began to all make excuses why they couldn't come. Well, I've bought 6 oxen and I must needs prove them. Or I've bought, the other one was, well, I bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. Well, that's some real excuse. Who goes and buys 6 oxen before you ever even see them? And who goes by as a plot of ground before you even go check it out? Some of the excuses that we have from time to time in our lives show forth that our response is not what it ought to be. That we ought to have a desire to come and to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In Hebrews chapter 10, Brother Ricky mentioned that this morning. Listen to what he says. In the 19th verse, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. In other words, what he's saying is that we can all come in and we can all sit down and we can all worship together in spirit and in truth. That veil has been rent from top to bottom, and the littlest child of God can look in into the blessings of God. And he goes on to say, let us draw near with a true heart. That's what we ought to be doing. Not being like the 9, but being that one. He said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Fully assured of faith. Now I want to tell you, that's a hard thing to do in this life. That's a hard thing. Full assurance of faith. Fully trusting in God. What does he say? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, there's some more washing there. He goes on to say, not only let us draw near, but let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold fast. Hold fast what you know. Hold fast the profession of your faith, that it's of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He goes on to say, and let us consider one another. You know what we ought to be doing? Considering one another. Let us consider one another to provoke. You know, most of the time provoking, when you use the word provoke, it's in a negative way. Like, you provoked me negatively to do something. Here, the Lord uses provoke in a positive way. And I would to God that we would use this provoke in a positive way. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know what we can do by our own demonstrating our love and good works for one another is provoke one another to the same way. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, he says, as the manner of some is. As the manner of some is. But exhorting one another,
And so much so as you see the day approaching. As we see the day approaching in this life, from Sunday to Sunday, we ought to be exhorting one another. As we see the day of resurrection, we ought to be exhorting one another for that day. Many places we can go to, and we can see how our response for the cleansing that we have received from a sin that was debilitating in our lives, from a sin that was going to that would destroy us in Adam, and Christ washed it away. What's that song we say? Who can wash away? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what washes away our sins. So I'll close with this right here. The Psalms 135. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. That's why we praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in all that we do. Praise God. Give Him praise. Don't be the nine that you see that God has cleansed you and done the work and just walk away. No, when you see it, what is your response? He said, this is the only one, this stranger is the only one that's come back, this stranger. He called him a stranger. And I want to tell you what, dear child of God, the more that you praise and worship the Lord at the feet, at His feet, at the foot of the cross, the more and more you're going to feel to be a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. The more and more that the things of this world are going to become unpleasant in your thoughts and in your mind, the more and more you're going to seek the things of God, you'll be called a stranger then. A pilgrim and a stranger. Because you're in a strange land. A land that you were once comfortable in, now it's become a strange land. And you seek a better one than this. And there's a better one coming than this, dear child of God. That's why you feel to be a stranger in this land. It's because one day we're all going to go home to be with the Lord. May we, through the gospel, through the reading of God's word, through prayer, as we see the cleansing that we have received, the eternal cleansing, as we receive cleansing in this life in our prayers, because God is faithful, may we continue to be that one and not the nine. May we continue to turn back and to go to Him and glorify Him for what He's done. God bless you.